Hey, for many of you tonight, you don't need to open your Bible because you're going to have this first passage in your head. If you don't have your Bible and you don't have this passage in your head, let me have one brave soul with one loud voice. Someone from this back corner. Anyone in this back corner? I want one of these young guys. Come on, one of you young guys, loud voice. I want Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, which begins with the fear. Come on, I'm calling you out. We don't have one guy back here that knows Proverbs 1, verse 7. All right, I'm going to this back corner. Who have we got? Hold on. Stand up if you would. Well done. That's it. Courage. I affirm that. That's courage to stand up and go, you know what? I know that. That's in my heart. But that's what we want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the way of the wise. I'm stoked that you have that. That's the way of the wise that you've just gone. I'm going to tuck that one away. The way of the wise, it begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. But it's not a standalone. You go to Psalm 111, verse 10, and it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. All those who follow God's ways have good understanding, have a sound mind, have good judgment, because we've chosen that, man, I'm going to lock in on that, the fear of God, and He to Him belongs eternal praise. And I'm going to move pretty quickly because I know we've already done a lot of different things, but this is so important. When you read the Proverbs this month, as we're reading through the Proverbs, most of them attributed to Solomon, but not all of them. They are words of instruction. Now, Solomon, you sort of, if you can picture the way he's writing this, he's got a son. He's actually got a few children, but there's one in particular at this time that he's obviously sitting there and he's going, man, what do I need to impart? I've gone through this twice in my life, when my daughter left home and now my son's preparing to leave home. I've had late nights lying in bed on my back going, have I told him about this situation? Have I given him wisdom in this situation? I go through this, and I had opportunity recently to just go through Proverbs chapter 3. Young men, young women, take a hold of wisdom. And when you look at the Proverbs, Proverbs really are about three things. The first one is godly purpose. You want to understand godly living and godly design for living. There's tons of it in the Proverbs. How to treat people, how to honor people, how to be honest, what things to avoid. Godly principle. There is also wise living on our part. Okay, the second part of wisdom is not just to know something, but to actually choose to take it on. All right, not enough to just memorize things, it's to engage with those things. It's to let them take on a life in the way that we live, wise living on our part. And thirdly, observations. And we're going to come to some of those in a minute, but all through the Psalms, you'll hear him go, look, kind of like, look, when I'm not around, watch the ants. He says that. He says, like, when I'm not around, look, I've walked past people's houses and they're in ruins. Wise people would keep active on stuff. So it's full of observation. I'm going to come to those. But there are times that you've got to be really careful that you don't take all of the Proverbs as promise. Got to be careful with the Bible that we don't just isolate a verse and go, man, that's promised to be enacted. Some of the Bible is not that. In fact, there are proverbs that say, you know, a good person enjoys long life. I know good people that have died young. All right? It's not necessarily promise, but godly wisdom would say, live a good life, you're going to avoid a heck of a lot of trouble. It doesn't mean that all trouble's going to be avoided by you. Jesus actually says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I overcame the world. So you've got to be wise in the way that you take hold of passages of Scripture. Okay? Some of this is a father talking to his son going, this is what I would tell you. And God is faithful and God is good and wise living. If all else goes right and a bus out of control doesn't take you out or something else crazy, good living, long life. Wild, crazy living, more than likely going to get cut short. But you read Ecclesiastes, you read Job, and you realize that there are times that good people go through great trial. All right? So you got to learn what are things that God says are for sure, His word, His promise. There are things that Solomon and others have observed, and they say, I would say from this that this is a fair truth. All right, so just be aware of that. Now, two things I would encourage you write down or take note of is if you can. A wise action on our part is always right. A wise action or a wise response, a wise decision on our part is always going to be right. It's always going to be good. Always going to be the right thing to do. But a wise action on our part cannot determine or control another person's response. All right? It's always going to be right for us to act wisely. There's a passage in Proverbs that says this, a quiet or gentle word diffuses anger. So it's right, it's wise for us not to just respond to anger in rage because it's always going to add fuel to a fire. It always is going to add fuel to a fire. But I also know that a gentle word does not always turn back wrath. I've spoken gently to someone and had them leap off a chair and try to beat me up. So it's not always there, but it was always right. I never entered into a rage about it. It's always right to act in wisdom, but your acting in wisdom can't always guarantee someone else's response. All right? That's why I'm sort of going through this. So, how do we acquire wisdom? This is what I want to give you tonight. So those first three things that the Proverbs are full of, you know, God's purpose, are full of, you know, wise actions for us to adopt, and they're full of observations. But how do we acquire wisdom? The first, as was so wonderfully stated, it begins with the fear of God. And what is the fear of God? In fact, I like Proverbs 1:7 in the Message. Proverbs 1:7 in the Message version, Eugene Peterson's translation says this, start with God. That's it. Start with God. Don't make that your fallback. Don't make that your last resort. Don't make that if all else fails, I'm going to pray. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. It's interesting, a lot of Bible scholars sort of say this verse is the theme verse for Proverbs. This is where Proverbs kind of begins. Start with God. The fear of God is where wisdom begins. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord has two sides. The fear of the Lord is a lifestyle that is hating evil. Like we detest evil. We detest sin. We try to avoid it. We try not to live in it. We make decisions to despise sin. And sin, as I've said before, is any activity or any attitude that we give preference to over God's statement. So anything that takes precedence over God's rightful place in our lives becomes sin. It's not just disobeying these 10 things or disobeying these 600 rules or breaking these six, or these seven. It's when we take anything and allow that to have a greater importance in our lives than God should have. So relationships, which can be good, can also become sin when we just sort of start going, oh, you know what? Yeah, I know God said that, and I know God, but this is better. I'm sorry, it becomes sin because we've elevated it to a place that only God should have. So the first part is to hate evil. The other side is to delight in doing God's will. So one part is to hate evil, but the other side is to do rightly. It's not enough to just, you know, stand up against the wrong. It's actually to engage the right. And this is a way, sometimes people get all like, oh man, depressed and sad and beaten down because, oh, I failed again, I did this again. And what I discovered in my life is even when we're trying to overcome, you know, garbage in our lives, it's really easy to focus on the garbage that you want to overcome. There was a time in my life before, you know, my relationship with God in Jesus Christ really began. I had a real problem with violent living. First week of April, I'm going to share a lot of my story. But I needed change. And I just sort of thought, man, I'll just get control of it. And I never really submitted that part to God. I used to just try and not get angry. And there were times I put my wife in really bad situations because I was just controlled by this anger and I was going to take it out on someone, and my wife was there. And it was actually Donna who put her finger on it in a pretty profound way in my life. I was blessed with a very strong-willed daughter. And there was a night where she was maybe two and we were having one of those fights that grown men have with two-year-old daughters, and I was going to win. So I'm sitting in this chair pretty much in the dark, you know, and I'm holding her and I'm holding her pretty tight. And Holly, you're not going to win this thing. And your little strong will isn't going to rule your dad. And Donna said something to me. I'm like, you know what? You can go to bed. I'm going to see this one through. I've got this one. And she just looked at me and she said, Tim, you got a problem with anger. I'm like, yeah, I do. It's not gone away. I go through seasons where I'm doing great, but what I learned is this: you will crash into whatever you focus on. And it doesn't matter. I'm going, I don't want to be angry, I don't want to be angry, I don't want to be angry. And what am I focusing on? Anger. You know, I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink, I don't want to be an alcoholic, I don't want to drink. What are you focusing on? Drink. I don't want to be subject to porn. I don't want to be trapped by porn. I don't want to watch porn today. I don't want to. What are you thinking about? Porn. Because we get to this point, I don't want to do it, don't want to do it, don't want to do it, but you will crash into what you focus on. Okay, you saw a glimpse of my life. Donna, can I tell a story about riding bikes? She said yes. We were out riding bikes one day. And there's this wonderful bike path, and it comes round to this bridge. And we're riding down, and I hear Donna start to go, oh, no, I'm going to hit the bridge. Oh, no, I'm going to hit that bridge. I'm going to hit that bridge. I'm going to hit. And what did she do? She did. She hit the bridge. But you realize it's like, why? Because you're already locked in on it. You are so focused on not hitting it that it's all you're thinking about. And this is the thing, is it's not enough in our lives to just, you know, do this, avoid the evil. It's the evil, it's the evil, it's the evil. I've got to get over the evil. I've got to focus on the evil so I don't hit the evil. And you're going to crash into it. This is why Hebrews 12 says this: fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, and run the race with endurance. Fix your eyes on Christ. And what I had to do was turn around in my life and literally start going, because I would be sort of focused on anger going, okay, one day I didn't get angry, 2 days I didn't get angry, 3 days I didn't get angry, but my focal point was anger. Until I turned to this point, I went, I want to be more like Jesus. Like, I really want to love my wife like Jesus. I want to love my kids like Jesus. I want to know what the love of Christ is like. I want to know what liberty in Him is like. And the more I began to do that, I didn't even really think about not being angry. It doesn't mean I never get angry. But I hope that my anger, when the beast is roused, I hope it's roused by righteous anger. It's not wrong to get angry. It's wrong to get angry about the wrong things. The Bible says, in your anger, don't sin. So if someone righteously needs a hiding, I'm just saying that. It's not enough to just hate you. We've got to delight ourselves in what's right. So whatever you're struggling with, if you've got any struggle and you feel like this, oh man, the fear of the Lord, man, I feel all condemned, get over that. This is not condemnation. This is encouragement to us. We want to walk in wisdom. Focus on the things that God says is good. Avoid evil. Focus on what God says is good. Discipline ourselves towards those things. Firstly, start with the fear of the Lord. Secondly, passionately pursue wisdom. If you look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, if you got your Bible or if you got your phone or whatever you're reading on, you actually see this whole piece that Solomon writes here on the importance of wisdom, on the worth of wisdom, the value of it. And he says, pursue it, get wisdom, get understanding, esteem wisdom, embrace wisdom. Search for it like gold. Search for it like treasure. Wisdom calls out to you in the streets. Take a hold of wisdom. And so Solomon is just saying here, you got to pursue it. It's not just going to come to you. You need to pursue it. I believe you start by asking God for wisdom. One passage in the Bible that I chose to commit to my heart, and it's really become a prayer more than just a verse in my head. It says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it abundantly without finding fault. And it goes on to say this, but when you ask, don't doubt, because when you doubt, you're like a wave tossed to and fro on the ocean, unstable in all your ways. And who thinks that you should receive anything from God? Now, let me just say something. That passage is often quoted out of context. People say, they'll just cut it down to this, don't doubt. Because when you doubt, you're like a wave tossed to and fro on the ocean, unstable in all your ways, and who thinks you should receive anything from God? That's not what this passage is saying. This is specifically in the context of wisdom. And so what this Bible passage says is ask God for wisdom. He will give it abundantly without finding fault in you, not nitpicking you, not trying to evaluate whether you deserve wisdom or not. What he goes on to say is this, don't then lay it out on the table and weigh it up against every other bit of common thinking. Don't ask God for wisdom and then line it up against the secret or against all these things and see which one fits you best. Because that's when God says, you start doing that, you're not trusting me. I'm just one of the many. And you will be unstable in all your ways. Fix your eyes on me. Take God at His word. And guys, it's not that popular. You have to know, we live in a pretty safe sort of Christian space right now. But in our world, following God's word, believing it, acting on it is not popular. And I believe, honestly, it's going to become less and less popular. But popularity doesn't make something right. God makes it right because He said, I am God and there's none other, and my word will stand forever, and you choose what you want to do with it. I love Joshua asked, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make a choice to follow it. But pursue it. Ask God for wisdom. I used to pray every day, and I still do. God, give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom. I want to know how to live. I want to know how to lead. I want to know how to act. I want to know how to love. I want to know how to serve. I want to know what it means to follow Jesus. And to do that, who can I ask but you? So God, give me that wisdom. 26 or 27 years now of asking him, and I'm probably wiser than I used to be. But I also got a long way to go. First thing we need to do is admit that we lack wisdom and ask God for it. Biggest struggle for us is humbling ourselves and saying, I don't know. We feel foolish. Well, why should we know what we don't know? Think about that. Why should I think I know what I don't know? It's foolish, just even that thought. So humble ourselves. Ask. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what I should do. I need wisdom. Humble ourselves before God. God, you know what? You're the creator of this world. You're the one who spoke everything into being. You're the one who knows how I'm wired. God, please grant me wisdom. Let me move on. Number three, take God at his word. I think I've sort of just said that leading up to my point here. Believe it, live it. You can pursue wisdom by reading the Bible, but you really take on wisdom when we live it out, when we act it, when we act on it. Fourthly, develop the art of observation. Develop the art of observation. You don't have to blow everything to work out what's right and wrong. Watch other people. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn from your own mistakes. I believe in very, very simply, God designed us with conscience-based common sense. Now in our world, people's consciences are seared. People abdicate common sense. You can watch enough videos on the internet and you can learn that pretty quickly. Some people lack it, but God created us with a conscience-based common sense. What's good? What's evil? What's right? What's wrong? What's beneficial? What's not beneficial for us? If you're not sure, ask it. There are ways to do things wisely, safely. But develop the art of observation. Thing I would say is this, share your life lessons, especially if you're going to have kids or you have kids or, you know, whatever, share it. I don't want my son to learn everything I learned by going through the same garbage I went through. I there are hard things I've had to share. There are hard things I've had to say. I made bad decisions. But you don't have to make the same bad decisions. You don't have to live with the same scars. You don't have to live with that same, you know, guilt. You live free because you go, man, I'm going to learn from that. I don't have to live like that. I believe that's what Solomon does here. And some Proverbs, you know, they seem to work like it. If you look at Proverbs 24, basically he says this. He walks down the road, notices the yard, the wall of this lazy person. The wall's broken down, the weeds are overgrown, paint's peeling off the building. And he says this. The observer says, I saw it, I considered it, I looked, and I got instruction from looking. This is what I learned. A little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. There's another passage. It's Proverbs 6:6-11. And if you have a look at it, it didn't come on the screen, but if you got it, look at it. Write the reference down. It says, go to the ant. That's kind of weird, but Solomon says this, go and look at the ant. Look at its ways and be wise. No commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? For a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, scarcity like an armed man. He says this, go and look at the ants. So you can see Solomon at some point, he's stopped and he's like, far out. Diligent little things. Here they are. They're robbing my pantry. They're robbing the food off my floor. And they're just forming lines, carrying this little seed, this food, this crumb to their place. So they're just these diligent little things. Anyone notice that ants are getting active right now? Weather's changing. So they're stocking up for the winter time. I can't believe that we can eat and have one crumb on the floor. You get up in the morning, it's like, are you kidding me? How the heck did they smell that thing? They live under my house. And I put a crumb on the floor and they come up the poles of the house and in the house and they go and they find this thing and then they sneak it out of there. Like, I don't know. Doesn't really matter, but look at the ant, you sluggard. All right, so observe the world around you. There are people that say things like this, well, it's not in the Bible, and so, but I tell you what, we learn from other people's proverbs. There's another proverb, don't run with sharp implements. I bet you someone learned that from observation. Another great proverb, don't stick a fork in the outlet. Don't stick a fork in the PowerPoint. Don't stick a knife in the toaster. Why? Someone observed it. And, someone said to me once, one of my favorite proverbs is, cleanliness is next to godliness. And there'd be people go, oh, it's not in the Bible, it's not a real proverb. It's actually probably pretty true. That's why we did Clean Up Australia Day today. Some of us. In fact, out of a congregation of about 2,000 people that we call Good Life Home, about 100 of us did it. Just a little side note. We can do it again next year. But God says this, take dominion of the earth. And when people chuck garbage all over it, we should be the first ones to pick it up. We should take dominion of our earth. So does cleanliness matter to God? I reckon it does. So you might not think, well, that's not in the Bible. I don't have to live by that. Think about it. Lastly, be a learner. Be a learner. Don't assume that you ever know enough. Some of you here tonight are older. You're more of our senior congregation. Probably one of our most senior members of the congregation here tonight is my dear friend Peter Timmer. Peter Timmer, can you stand up 1 second? I want to say this to you. Don't ever stop learning. I know your heart and I know you, and Peter would very honestly say, I don't know everything. But he's a man who still pursues God, and this is it. Never stop learning. And the youngest ones in here, I picked on Audrey this morning, but Hendrix tonight, never stop learning. Never. Life is a whole journey of learning, learning to live, learning to love, learning the character of God, taking a hold of wisdom. A wise person begins with what? With what? The fear of God. Hating evil and doing what is right. Don't just mouth off about what's wrong and what's bad. Choose to do what's right. Don't just avoid evil. Actively engage good. It's the first place we begin to learn what wisdom is. I bring up all those points here. The way of the wise. How do we acquire wisdom? Fear the Lord. What's number two? I know it's on the screen behind me. You're just choosing not to engage it. First one is this. How do we acquire wisdom? One, fear the Lord. Number two, passionately pursue it. Number three, take God at His word. Number four, develop the art of observation. You'll learn such wisdom just by looking at the way that God designed this world. And fifthly, be a learner. Be a learner. I can tell you what you can learn very quickly. You can learn 6 things the Lord hates and 7 that are detestable to Him. And those are haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Live for right, live for good. Pursue wisdom. Be wise tonight in your driving. Be wise tonight in your living. Be wise tonight in your eating. Be wise tonight in your relating. Be wise. Trust God. Pursue Him. And I pray we will see you here next week. That's it. That's like a rapid stop, isn't it? It's kind of like whiplash. I'm going to pray. Father, thanks. You are the author of life. You're the author of wisdom. God, you say, come and learn. Avoid evil, do what's right. And God, you've showed us how, and I pray that we would be wise enough to humble ourselves before you and ask you to lead us. Give us liberty where we need liberty. Give us discipline where we need discipline. And God, would you fill our hearts with joy that we would delight in your ways. We say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.